weekend, our son, Bauer, and I checked off a major item on the bucket list when we went to the NFL Hall of Fame, and we just had the time of our lives. We spent the entire weekend surrounded by legends of the game. We rubbed shoulders with some of the greatest to ever play the game. We got to meet some of the greatest athletes to ever play football. And none greater, none better than the GOAT himself, the greatest of all time, Peyton Manning. Now, I think we could all agree that Peyton is much more the greatest of all time than, shall we say, Tom Brady, because Peyton doesn't have to cheat to win Super Bowls like Tom does. Welcome to Vista Church. We're glad you're here. Now, we had the absolute time of our life, and we got to go to the enshrinement ceremony, which is just the NFL's fancy way of saying this is when they get inducted into the Hall of Fame. And we heard time and time again from all of the different players who were being enshrined into the Hall of Fame, we heard very similar stories, how from a very early age, they decided that they wanted to be there at that point at the end of their career. And because of that, because they dreamed of being at that moment, because they worked at being at that moment, everything up until that moment changed. Everything was different. They lived in different ways. They led in different ways. They changed their diet. They changed other things about their life. They changed everything about their existence, from the way that they spent their free time to the way that they spent their time on the football field, all for one reason: to get to the moment in their life, to get to that point in their life where they could be enshrined with a legacy that far outlived, that went far beyond their time on the football field. This morning, we're going to talk about leaving a legacy. As we kick off this series that we're going to talk about over the next 2 weeks, we're going to unpack what a legacy is and how we can live beyond today. Now, today is a special day because it's a day that we get to celebrate the leadership and the legacy of faithful ministry of a family like the Fieldins. It's a day we celebrate what God has done in crafting and creating and shaping their legacy. But what we're going to see, what we have seen in their life and in their leadership and in their ministry, is that the legacy they have here at Vista isn't something that happened by accident. At the end of their time here in Orlando at Vista, they've gotten to this end by what I believe beginning with the end in mind, starting with this point and then reverse engineering. And so as we unpack over the next couple of weeks this idea, this thought about legacy, I want to encourage us to begin with the end in mind, because the reality is every single one of us will experience an ending in our life. An end comes with different jobs, with different careers, with our professional life. An end comes in some relationships as we have friendships that move or that move on. Endings come in even athletics, with dynasties, with politics, with governments. Endings come in dynasties. There's even an end that we will all face in our own life. I think we would do ourselves great benefit if we began with the end in mind, because at some point in our life, there will be an end. There's a funny story of a husband and wife, a man going to see his physician, his doctor. And he and his wife go to this doctor's appointment. The doctor does all kinds of tests, does different examinations, and realizes that there are some very serious problems that this guy is experiencing in his own health and in his own life. And so he turns to this man and says, "Hey, there's some major issues that we found, and I'd like to just have just a minute to chat with your wife." So he says, "Sure, yeah, no problem." And so he leaves, and the doctor and this man's wife start to kind of talk about reality. Reality begins to set in when he says, I've found out that your husband has a very serious disease. But there's good news. This disease is very treatable. All it's going to take is for you to fix three meals a day whatever he wants to eat, whenever he wants to eat it. If he wants something delivered in, if you could just bring it in, but you've got to do that. And you go and pick up something if he's hungry for something out, because you don't want to interrupt any TV show, because that's another part of making sure that he survives this. Make sure that he can watch any ESPN, he can watch whatever sports uninterrupted, without commercials. He can watch whatever movies that he wants. That's all part of this treatment plan. And oh, by the way, you need to take him to any events that he'd like to go to. You need to go and buy him any car that he would like to drive. And make sure that you meet his every need. And if you do, the good news is, this, like I said, is treatable. The bad news is, if you don't, in 6 months he won't make it. And so she starts to wrap her mind around what life could look like. And she says, okay, I just need a minute to talk with my husband. And so the husband comes back in. The doctor walks out. She grabs him by the hands. And he says, what's the doctor said? She says, honey, you're going to die. The truth is, though, wherever we're at, in life, wherever we're at in our relationships, there's going to come a point where we, each and every one of us, will die. I don't know how it'll happen. I don't know when it will happen, but it'll still happen to each and every one of us. But the question that I want you to wrestle with this morning is, would it change things if you knew that that time would happen soon? Would it change things in your life if you knew when that time would come? I know for me, it certainly would. And if we're being gut level honest with each and every one of us, it would probably change the way that we live today if we knew that that someday was going to happen very soon. But think about it like this, frame it like this. What would generations to come say after seeing the way that you've lived today? How would the next generation and generations beyond be different because of the way that you're living today? There's a passage of scripture that's more a passage of worship, because worship points us to what's most important in life. And what's most important in life is Jesus himself. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to turn over to Psalm chapter 39, where we see a song that captures some great truth for you and I this morning. Psalm chapter 39, verse 4 says this. David writes, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. God, would you please just help me to remember that life is short, that it's just a glimpse, a short time, just a brief moment. And David says this, you've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. Fun fact, did you know that if you bend your index finger like this, that the distance between knuckle one and knuckle two is approximately about, essentially, 1 inch. Okay, so if you're ever in a pickle and you're like, man, I don't know if this is gonna be the right size. This is about an inch between your first and second knuckle, give or take an inch, okay? All right. Did you know that the distance from the tip of your thumb to the top of your pinky is approximately 9 inches? Okay? So give or take, again, now I shook some hands at the NFL Hall of Fame that are like 38 inches, okay? They're just massive. But approximately 9 inches between the tip of your thumb to the top of your pinky. Did you know that it's approximately from the tip of your thumb to the top of your index finger? That's about 6 inches, okay? Now let's put this in perspective with Scripture, because that's what we want to do with Scripture. We want to frame our life around the truth that's found in the Word. Let's put this in perspective. We're talking, at max, our life is about 9 inches long. Okay, our life is brief. Now let's put it in perspective with what we know, the state of Florida. Did you know that the state of Florida is approximately 1.8 trillion square feet? Put 9 inches within those over 1.8 trillion square feet. Let's put it into a broader perspective. Let's take the United States, for instance. Did you know that the United States is about 105.8 trillion square feet around? 9 inches at most. David, as he's writing this psalm to reframe our perspective in life, says, "You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand." And he goes on, "My entire lifetime is just a moment to you." Now we know, because of the addition of text messaging and smartphones in moving vehicles, that things can change in a moment if you just look down for a moment in a text message. Tragedy and accident can occur within just the snap of a moment. And David says, "My entire life is just a moment to you." At best, each of us is but a breath. Our life is like the morning fog. Our life is like our breath that can be seen on a cold morning that's right in front of us for just a minute and then gone in an instant. And so David, in this moment of worship, has a moment of realization that we desperately need to be reminded that life is brief. Life is short. Life is here for a second and gone the next. Just the width of our own hand. As parents, I realize that life doesn't always feel short, right? We're in the trenches of life. We're in the daily grind and the daily routine of being responsible for the life of this little one. And days as a parent seem more long than they do brief. Right, because we wake up early in the morning, or we're woken up early in the morning against our will. Then when we're woken up in the morning, we have little humans running around who are hungry, who need nutrition. That usually takes them an eternity to decide what they want and only a second to inhale it. I mean, they inhale their breakfast like a 5-horsepower vacuum around our house. And if they haven't done that, then they've spilled it all on the ground, which means we've got to clean it all up, which means we've got a mess of epic proportions. And heaven forbid that that breakfast has anything with milk in it, because then you got to deal with cleaning every drop of that up. Otherwise, the soured milk smell in your kitchen is competing with the dirty diaper smell in their bedroom. Or if you've got older kids, it's the BO smell. And so for parents in the trenches, we're living life and we're like, "No, this is really long." But as parents, we recognize and we realize that, sure, the days are long, but the years are short. Because in a blink, in a minute, in a moment, we see our kids, Addie and Bauer, who are now 8 and 10, and they're in 5th and 3rd grade. And I still remember questioning the moment when the doctor and the professionals in the hospital decided that it was the wise and discerning thing to do to send these little humans into our home expecting us to sustain life. I remember that day, and it just seems like yesterday, because for families, the days are long, but the years are short. And the years fly by. David says they're fleeting, they're passing, they're rushing, they're just a glimpse. In James chapter 4, in the New Testament, we see it a little bit different. Same song, different verse. In James chapter 4, verse 13, James writes, "Look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and make profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Hey, there's things on our schedule. I can look ahead 2-3 weeks, maybe a few months, and I've got appointments on my schedule, on my calendar. Yes, we have that, but how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it's a sin to know what you ought to do and to not do it." Truth be told, this morning, we all need desperately God to remind us how short life is. We need God to remind us that our life here on earth is brief. It's a flash in the pan. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But we don't need to be reminded in a cynical kind of way, do we? Like, God is just looking at his clock, wishing the days away. Like, it's not long until you guys are gone. It's not the way that God reminds us. We're not reminded in a very cruel way that God is just counting down the time. But we need to be reminded of this because more often than not, this isn't the way that we think. In fact, it's just opposite of the way we think. In those moments when life is going well, in those days when things are happening the way that they should, everyone's healthy and happy. There's money in our pocket, money in our bank. Everything at work is good. The kids have all A's. They've made the honor roll. Your kids have joined the all-star team. The stock market is performing. Your blood work comes back normal. And thank you, Jesus, that Disney has now renewed the opportunity to buy annual passes. Life is good. Can it get any better? I don't know. But it's in these moments when life doesn't turn out the way that we want. The way that is difficult and disappointing and depressing and defeating. It's in those days when we start to think a little bit differently. The moments when the diagnosis comes back that you weren't expecting. The moment when the boss comes in and explains that the company's had budget cuts and that you're one of them. When your kid's report card comes back with an F. When every time that they step up to the plate, they strike out. Those moments when your kids don't make the traveling dance team. The blood work comes back and you got to change everything about your diet. It's in those moments that we try to grasp onto control. But it's also in those moments that we realize, that we recognize, that we experience that life is brief. Life is but a breath. And we have no control over it. Moments like these of pain and disappointment oftentimes turn into milestones in our life that shape our lives in huge ways. But I wonder if we didn't wait. What if we didn't wait on moments like these to shape the way that we live today? What if we didn't wait around for things to start spiraling out of control? For us to say, we're going to maximize today, if we recognized that life is brief, I think there are a few things. I think there are a few shifts we would make in today so that tomorrow could be different. I think there are some shifts that we could make in our life, in our family, in our relationships, in our careers today that would mean we are living beyond today. And so there are a few things that I think we ought to ask God. If you're taking notes, you got an outline on your way in this morning. Number one, if we understand that life is short and understand that our legacy is being written whether we like it or not today, then number one, we would ask God to turn the wins into now. Now, I'm not talking about winning in sports. I'm not talking about winning by climbing the ladder of your professional career. I'm talking about the timing of wins. God, turn the win into now in my life. Because I don't know if you're anything like me, but for so much of my life, I'm literally almost wishing life away. There are times where I say, when such and such happens, then life will really matter. One day, when everything is just the way that I want it to be, then I can fully engage and do what God's calling me to do. I don't know how it would play out for you, but I've talked to so many people through the years with different when, then. It may be the single person who says, one day, when I get married, life will be great, and I'll finally be happy. It may be the person that says, one day when we get the right house, we'll finally host a small group in our home. One day when we finally get out of debt, then I'll start living generously. One day when the kids are all grown, then I'll start investing in our marriage again. One day when I get financially secure and when I get financially strong, then I'll re-engage with the family. The problem is, that one day rarely comes. So if we want to live a life that leaves a legacy, we've got to turn our one days into today. Why? Because in case you haven't heard, in case you haven't realized from the truth that we've interacted with in Scripture today, life is brief, life is short. Maybe for you, you're just so goal-oriented. You're so driven and you're so focused that for you, it's difficult to make the most of the moments, and you miss those moments. You just constantly think about that next project, that next goal, that next thing that you have to accomplish, so much so that you forget to live in the here and now. But no matter where you're at, whether you're with your wife, whether you're with your kids, your husband, if you're with a friend, if you're with people at work, no matter where you're at, I want to encourage you to be all there. If you've got kids, you're not off in your mind working and engaging and solving problems at work, but that you're all there with them. With your spouse, be all there. And not thinking about what the next day at work has to bring you in your schedule. Not thinking about the next thing that you need to accomplish, the next deal you need to make, but really being all there. And when you're at work, be all there. With the people that you're working with, interacting with, be all there and present. Give them your heart. Let them share their heart. Encourage them. Be present with them. Wherever you're at, be all there. And start living, because if you don't, life will be gone in just a moment. We're reminded of that when James says, look, those of you who say today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year, we're doing business and making profit, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Now, this may then lead us to think, well, if life is that brief, if things are that quick, we should just do what we want. We should just live however we choose and just chase pleasure and happiness and joy and whatever way we see fit. Not so fast, because Paul talks about this very thing in Romans chapter 6. When he talks about our license to sin, does grace give us this opportunity to just live however we want? Because we're going to be covered by the grace of God anyway. Does the brevity of life give us this moment to say, okay, let's eat, drink, and be happy? Well, no. In fact, Paul says it in a very stern way. He says, by no means should we live in that kind of way. But friends, by all means, we've got to make the most of every single day as we leave the legacy that God's called us to leave. Number two, if you're taking notes, we need to ask God to turn our intentions into actions. God, turn our intentions into actions. Because chances are, if you're like most people, including myself, we've got some seriously good intentions about life. But, like also most people, probably just haven't gotten around to doing them in life yet. Now, wives, this is not a moment to elbow your husband and say, I told you, I've got that list for you. We don't throw any bows at Vista. But we do need to turn our intentions into actions, because there's things that God has called us to do, created us to accomplish, that we need to get to work on. And the days are short. Again, in James chapter 4, he says, remember, it's a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. James doesn't say, you know what, guys, it's just a missed opportunity. Another one will circle around. You should be fine. Just wait for the next ride to come around. No, that's not what James says at all. He says, it is a sin to not do what you know you ought to do, to leave the good in your life, in your family, and in your community undone. James says it's absolutely a sin. Now, our youngest, if you've met our youngest, our 8-year-old Bauer, he has currently a mouthful of braces. And it was just inevitable for him, because I had braces for a little over 8 years. My wife had braces twice. And so even in the 8 years that I had braces, unfortunately, they were still not able to fix the ugly. But it was inevitable for our son to have braces. And so he currently has those. And the whole purpose of braces is to close the gap in your mouth, to bring alignment and realignment into your bite, into the way that you eat, to fix what was broken, to right what was wrong inside your mouth. And for some of us this morning, we need to bring some orthodontics to our own life. We need some realignment, some gospel alignment, some biblical worldview alignment in our life and in our heart. And we need some alignment and closure of the gap in our life between our intentions and our actions. So what are those good intentions that God wants you to do, but you haven't yet done them? Think about it this way. If you want a relationship with Jesus that doesn't just survive, that doesn't just kind of get you through day by day, if you want a relationship with Jesus, a walk with Christ that doesn't just survive but thrives, then discipline is the difference. Not desire. Hey, you know what? I want to walk with Christ that's my everything. Desire doesn't change that. Discipline does. Direction doesn't change that. You know what? I'm going to set my sights in the direction this way. Did you know that when you set your GPS on your phone, you can still drive a different way? Direction alone changes nothing. Discipline is the difference between average and abundance. What area of your intentions, of your desires, of your direction do you need to bring action to? Maybe for some of you this morning, there's someone in your life who needs to hear the hope of Jesus. I literally talked to a family yesterday who so challenged and encouraged me by just telling me what they were doing in their afternoon. They packed up, they planned to pack up yesterday afternoon, drive a couple hours so that they could tell their loved ones about Jesus. That's turning intentions into actions. Is there someone in your life who needs to hear? Not tomorrow, not when they're on their deathbed, but right now, today. Is there someone who needs to hear the good news about Jesus? Maybe for some of you, you just need to share and communicate and express encouragement to someone. There's someone that you may or may not know has not heard and experienced compassion like you have in your home. Someone who hasn't been encouraged the way that others have encouraged you. Someone who you just need to call and say, thanks for making a difference in my life. Turn that intention into actions. What are those good intentions that you have that you haven't followed through on? Maybe God is calling you to serve on a mission trip, to go across the globe to tell the story of Jesus to the nations. Maybe for some of you, God's calling you across the street to tell someone about Jesus, to serve them in sacrificial ways. Maybe for some of you this morning, you know that God's called you and equipped you and gifted you to serve in your local church in some way. But you haven't taken the action on it. You haven't taken that moment to step up and make a difference in your local church here at Vista, in our community. Maybe there's somebody who's hurt you that you need to make a phone call with before we get to Sunny's barbecue this afternoon. There's someone you need to make a phone call with who's really hurt you. And I'm not saying call them and say, hey, everything that you did was okay. Because it may still not be okay, but that doesn't mean you can't forgive them. Is there someone who's hurt you that you need to call and forgive? Is there someone that you've hurt who you need to call and apologize to and ask for forgiveness? What are those good intentions that you have that you just haven't acted on? I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a hospital to visit someone whose life is slipping away right before them. I've listened to the regret, you know, I should have done this. I wish I would have done that differently. I hear them saying over and over, I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. I wish I would have prioritized my family over my career. I poured my life into things that didn't really matter. I thought life was all about material gain. And there they are in their hospital room. And it's not. I've run into kids, sons and daughters who've actually driven to the hospital, but their mom, their dad, their loved one has already passed away, and they didn't have an opportunity to share what was really on their heart. And they just ache and ache because they wanted to say something and they never did, and now they don't have the opportunity to. It's those good intentions and no follow through. Listen, we have no idea how profound an impact God might have in our own life if we do the things today that we know God has called us to do and created us for. So we can be obedient. Never let the good go undone. Do it right now. Do it today before the sun goes down. Close that gap on the intentions and the actions of our life. Number three, we need to turn our whole heart toward Jesus. God, will you help us turn our whole heart toward Jesus? Not just a little portion, not just the spiritual side or the segment, but our entire life, to give everything, to live every minute for Jesus. That's easy to talk about in church. It's easy to rally behind and say, let's go. But my fear is, for too many people, we just give a piece of our life to Jesus. Just a little slice, just a little bit. Basically, we say, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to do my own life. I'm going to pursue my own passions and dreams, and everything's good in my life, and I'm going to give you a little portion of my life. I'm going to show up on Sunday to church, and God, I'm going to give you that part of me, but the rest of me, I'm just going to hang on to because I feel like I might be able to do a little bit better. I feel like I might be able to bring a little more joy and happiness to my own life. And don't get me wrong, Jesus, I'm still going to wear my WWJD bracelet, and I'm going to wear my t-shirt, and I'm going to slap a Christian bumper sticker on, and I'm going to give you that little portion of my life, but I'm going to hang on to the rest of my life. And I think so often, that's the spot we get to in life. But I'm telling you this, if you want to leave a legacy that matters, if you want to leave a legacy that makes a difference for generations to come, we can't give Jesus just a little bit. We got to give him everything that we are. Several years ago when we lived in Tennessee, my wife Kara and I got an invitation to a Nashville Predators game. It's a professional hockey club there in Tennessee, and Tennesseans just go wild for Predators hockey. I mean, we go so crazy for it that we throw catfish. I missed it. We go so wild for Nashville Predators hockey that we throw catfish on the ice. It's just wild. So Kara and I went. We had seats on the glass with this family that we went to church with. And we finished the game, and they've got backstage passes, if you call it that at a hockey game. I honestly don't know what you would call it. But we got backstage passes where we get to meet the players and all of that. And so we're taking pictures with professional hockey athletes. We're getting their autographs. We're getting to meet all of these great, amazing hockey players. And then as we're just hanging out there, we see this gal start coming into this exclusive area, and it's this younger blonde-headed gal, and she's all dressed up, and she's got a princess tiara on, and she's got a sash that says birthday girl, and she is carrying this massive sheet cake that says happy birthday, Carrie. Now, if you don't know anything about the Nashville Predators, one of the players on the team is married to Carrie Underwood. I'm talking American Idol season 4 winner, Carrie Underwood. I'm talking Jesus take the wheel, Carrie Underwood. I'm talking like Carrie Underwood, I'm going to drive my keys into the side of your pretty little souped up 4-wheel drive. All right, Louisville Slugger to both headlight, Carrie Underwood. And come to find out, that night and all day was Carrie Underwood's birthday. And so not only did we have front row seats at the Predators game, not only did we get to meet some of the Nashville Predators, we got to go to Carrie Underwood's birthday party and celebrate with just a handful of people with Carrie Underwood. It was pretty epic. But if you're walking down the street today and you happen to run into Carrie Underwood and you would say something like, oh, hey, Carrie, Brandon and Kara Reed said hey, she's going to do uncomfortably what some of you just did. Just chuckled. Well, who's Brandon and Kara? I don't know them. Because the truth is, the reality is, we know Carrie Underwood only by some of the stats we can share with you. We don't really know her, but we can tell you her songs. We can maybe sing along. We can tell you what season of American Idol. We may have even watched some of her stuff on TV. But we don't really know Carrie Underwood. Here's my fear this morning. My fear is that there may be some of you here this morning who know Jesus like we know Carrie Underwood. Maybe you can quote a few things about Jesus. You can sing along with some of his songs. You've watched some of his specials on TV. But you don't really know Jesus. You're close, but you're not all there. And close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, not in eternity. Sure, you're in church, you understand things about Jesus, but yet you're far from him because you don't know him personally. Friends, can I tell you, life is brief. 9 inches, we're talking just a little bit. It's just a glimpse, it's just a moment, it's just a breath, a fog that disappears so quickly. And there's nothing better for you to do this morning than to put your trust and your faith in Jesus. Jesus, I don't want to be away from you. I don't want to just know a little bit about you. I don't want to be able to just answer the Jeopardy questions about you with the two new hosts that were named this week. I don't want to just be able to answer some trivia so people get an idea that I'm a faithful person. I want to turn my whole heart toward you. I want to experience fully your grace, your truth, your mercy, your love, your goodness for my life personally, not just what you're doing in everyone else's life. Maybe that's you this morning. And today, as you're beginning to think about your own legacy in life, you'd say, all right, today's my day. I'm ready to go all in. Maybe for some of you this morning, you're more in alignment with your wins to now. Maybe you're ready today to turn those some days into today. You realized and you've recognized, yes, that life is brief, but you've also realized that you're going to write a legacy with your life and that you're ready to turn that someday, one day, into today, right now. Maybe for others of you, you've got some really good intentions that you just haven't taken care of. And today, you're ready to turn those intentions into actions with a phone call, with a step, with something that you put into place that you know God's put in your heart. But maybe for you this morning, if you're honest, you would say, you know what? I've just had a little bit of Jesus. I've showed up to church. I've connected in a Bible study, but I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus. And if that's you this morning, I want to let you know that Jesus can change everything about your life. He's changed everything in mine. He's changed everything about our family. And he's changed everything about our life. And he can do that in your life. But for every person this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what story is your life telling? What legacy is your life writing? What do you want it to tell? What legacy do you want to be shared? And what needs to change because of that? Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the reminder that we so often forget. The reminder that life is brief, the reminder that life is short, that it's just a breath. And God, I pray that this reminder in our life wouldn't just become drudgery, wouldn't just become a cruel reminder of the brevity of our life, but would become a purposeful, directional, intentional push on us to remind us to live for what matters most. And God, I pray that generations to come, that families today would be different because of the action that we take, because of the choices that we make, because of the intentional lean into living a gospel life. God, may we be different because of who you are and what you've done in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.